This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Headspace. And this is Doug Pollard here bringing it all to you with the able assistance of Rob Mitchell, Roz Ward, and now joining us in the studio, Daniel Jackson from the AFL Players Association. Hello, Daniel.
G'day, Doug. Sorry I'm late. Busy day.
Oh, that's okay. Your big, big boss, Mr. Demetriou, has been opening his mouth and sticking his foot in it this morning on 3AW, I see. He said some rather nasty things. He was talking about that article that was in The Age yesterday that talked about, that Samantha Lane wrote about, you know, homophobia in the AFL. Rob, you were quoted in that as well, saying that the AFL was behindhand in tackling homophobia. He gave Samantha a spray on 3AW this morning. He described the article as the worst possible journalism, beat-up nonsense. The AFL is not homophobic. We are an inclusive organisation that develops diversity. I don't think there's any homophobia in the AFL. The article is complete nonsense. The next thing you know, they'll be wanting us to campaign for pygmies in Namibia. I think he was a bit cross. Is he right? Is there no homophobia in the AFL?
Oh, look, I can only speak from one club, and obviously as an AFLPA representative, I suppose I speak on behalf of players, but there are 800 players out there. From what I have seen and been a part of, and I've been in the system for 8 years, I've never seen any or heard any homophobia around me, like, you know, any was specific to any teammates, anyone that's specific to someone working in the club. But saying that, I haven't got any teammates or people working in the club that have ever come out and said that they are in fact gay. So
yeah, so it's kind of a catch 22, isn't it? They don't feel safe enough to come out, so we don't know whether the environment is safe enough for them to come out,
right,
or not,
or if they're there, you know, in our particular football club.
Yeah, or in any of them. Rob.
Mm. Well, I think I'd make two points. Firstly, obviously, you know, and I heard those remarks just, you know, a couple of minutes before I walked in here. And obviously, I'm, you know, profoundly disappointed in Andrew Demetriou's comments. I think to have a go at Samantha Lane personally, I think, is unprofessional. But having just, you know, sat here and thought about it for a few minutes, the thing that really strikes me is that it's almost an adolescent type of response where they're being very, very intolerant of any criticism, and that to me is, you know, I think is profoundly disappointing. I mean, they're the keepers of the code. They, you know, they, you know, have an enormous amount of money, and they also have the potential to really make some difference here. And I guess, you know, there was another article in the Age today, again by Samantha Lane, quoting Helen Zoki, and the good work that had been done by Hockey Victoria and Hockey Australia. I just, you know, as I said, I think it's really disappointing that the AFL aren't taking the lead here. And it was only after, you know, some 12 months of frustration that I, you know, actually went to, you know, was interviewed by The Age, you know, when they were asking me my thoughts on what had actually been going on over the last 12 months post the AFL Players Association initiative from last year. So I think that, I mean, really the way forward is to not get tangled up in this sort of personal, as I said, adolescent behaviour, but to actually focus on the issue that the research from both Latrobe and Victoria universities, you know, says needs addressing.
Mm. Daniel, I'm certainly, from what I've been hearing from Rob, and I hear a lot from Rob, as I'm sure we all do, there isn't a problem at player level whatsoever, and that I think is borne out by the fact that the AFLPA has been closely involved last year in the International Day Against Homophobia campaign, and you're involved again this year.
Yeah, we, myself, Rob Murphy from the Bulldogs, and Nick Dygan got approached by Headspace to get involved sort of as ambassadors to send their message, and we spent a lot of time in schools, so it was a good partnership to be able to actually go to a school and say, look, if you have any of these issues, here's a resource that could really help you. Mm-hmm. Then Headspace have partnered up with National Idaho Day, or International Day, and after what we did last year, we thought that'd be a great way for us to get involved again and throw our weight in. With the issue of acceptance of on the player level, I had a good chat to Sam Lane for her first article, which was about a week ago. And what I said to her was, I think if I had a teammate or if there was a player in the AFL who was to come out and say that they were gay, I think their least concern would be the playing group. When you have a relationship with someone, when they're your friend, when they're your teammate, a colleague, you're going to be a lot more accepting. I think the greater issue here, and this is probably similar in a lot of workforces, but it's exacerbated at AFL level because it is such a public job. If someone was to come out, it's not whether the 39 or 40 odd teammates or the other AFL players accept them. It's whether the general public are going to accept them, because we walk down the street now and get, whether it's a little pump up for playing well or a little pot shot for playing poorly. Well, if you're the one person who's come out and said you were gay, it's not about your football anymore. It's about who you are, and that's going to be the hardest part. So it's less of a reflection of the AFL players as is, I think, on the general society or football related society, that whether they're going to accept it.
Yeah, there was someone commenting on the article yesterday, I noticed, who said, I am an AFL player and I am gay and I don't want to be a spokesperson and I don't want to be a target. So I would love it to be out in the open so that I could go to the Brownlows with my partner, but until it's safe and until it's completely safe to do so, I'm not going to put my head above the parapet. And I think that's an understandable attitude, Rob.
Well, I mean, I would obviously concur with Daniel's remarks. And the other thing I'd say is that it's self-evident, but we need to actually just go over it again. If you're an AFL player and there's 800 odd of them, that, you know, diversity is built into that playing group. They come from every possible socioeconomic background. They come from every racial background. They come from every religious background. And that diversity is built in. So obviously, we all know that, you know, according to the La Trobe research, there's going to be, you know, a number of players who identify as not heterosexual. But Daniel is correct. It's the, you know, the administration, the cultural side of things that is sorely lacking, and it's sorely lacking because the AFL themselves constantly say, oh, that, you know, they're a sort of a reflection, a sort of microcosm on society, but they're actually not. They're dragging the chain, you know, by a long shot when it comes to this issue. And, you know, I think what we've, you know, what we've heard in the last sort of hour from the CEO, you know, again, I just say it's extraordinarily disappointing, but I just think that speaks to that.
Well, I've got a good example. This morning we have a Muslim teammate, Bashir Hooley, and we actually had him up in front of the group. He asked to speak in front of the group and actually give a half an hour talk with some slides and let us ask some questions about his culture and his background, just purely so that it was out in the open, so that everyone, no one was ever tiptoeing around, that, you know, we love him, he's a great teammate and he's been playing really well and we have him around for dinner and things, but, you know, there's all those extra things like what meats can you eat, and there's all these questions that young guys who have just finished school didn't know anything about. And it was such a good idea, and it was so well taken by the rest of the club, that we're going to do that for, you know, guys, you know, our Irish teammates, or if we have Indigenous teammates, whatever it is, just to get to know them more. So very, very proactive at club level. But I suppose the question is, what are we looking for the AFL to do? I know the comments this morning sound like they were a little bit rash and a little bit not quite measured as they should have been, not quite as measured as they should have been. And I haven't read the article by Sam, but I had a good chat about this stuff with her last week. But what are the initiatives that we'd like to see in place that would make it better at whether it's the public level or the player level? Because if we're saying that the players are going to be tolerant of it and the clubs are going to be tolerant of it, then what do the AFL need to be pushing to the wider community who actually just come to watch games, because there's a few million of those?
Yeah, and that, I think that is the key point, isn't it, Rob? It's because we've got the same problem in British football, soccer. You know, there's players who would come out, but they're going to get a real barracking from the people on the terraces, and they are, you know, very unhappy about that.
Well, they are, I think that's true, and again, I think, you know, we need to congratulate, you know, Daniel and Rob and, you know, Nick Dygan as well. You know, it's from the perspective of mental health, and particularly GLBDI mental health, which has been neglected for so long, it's exhilarating working with an organisation like the AFLPA that are actually willing to do something. Because the real problem, you know, the cultural problem within the AFL is, if you read their stuff and look at their policies, you know, it sounds like, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, I have a dream. You know? But the reality is,
it's
what
carrying
the,
it through.
Well, the reality is, you know, when on the ground, it's I can't be stuffed, because they just, you know, it's not a lack of resourcing, it's not a lack of knowledge, you know, they just don't want to do it.
I think the point is that, you know, it's putting the cart before the horse to say you know, players won't come out because of the attitude of the people on the terraces or the attitude of the people in AFL management or whatever, because what AFL management, in my view, ought to be doing is educating those people out there, you know, the audience who come and see football matches.
And they also ought to be...
They ought to be taking a proactive line. Roz?
Yeah, and let's not forget about the thousands and thousands of gay and lesbian and bisexual and trans people who go and watch football every week. It's not like the entire fan base of football are, you know, straight white heterosexual men. Like, come off it. I go every week and I see, believe me, hundreds of people around who are really part of that whole football family, football community.
Yeah, and they love football.
It's as diverse,
Yeah.
So the question is still there, though. So there was an issue with the way that the AFL is perceived to be treating women, and now they've got women, they're trying to encourage them into board positions. The players get 4 one-hour sessions every year about respect and responsibility. But once again, we don't think it's a player issue. If it's a broader thing, what are we needing to put in place? So if we're going to go to, say, to Dimitro or whoever else at the AFL, that you guys aren't taking enough course of action, well, what would we like to see them do? That'd be my question.
Well, I think, you know, what you're doing on the ground is profoundly effective, because what it does is it integrates mental and physical health. I mean, you know, and I think we touched on this last year. I mean, you know, it seems to me that the players are endlessly stereotyped. You know, that people have this particular, you know, view of all AFL players, and they all fit this very narrow mold. And it's a ridiculous proposition, because, as I said, you come from every, you know, religion, every, you know,
yeah, but
background.
His point was, what can the AFL actually do to improve the situation?
Well, the AFL can do what they've done around racism, and they can, you know, and they can do it effortlessly. And
so you want them to be more proactive?
I want them to be proactive. You know, we talked about having a themed round. We talked about, you know, just you know, simple outward-facing things that they can do. But they don't even want to have the conversation. And that's the problem.
I mean, so at the moment, they're entirely reactive. They're not proactive, is what
nothing,
you're saying.
Nothing anywhere in terms of social inclusion with the AFL, nothing happens without a crisis.
And okay. everyone who goes to football knows that you can't make a racist comment when you're sitting at a football game. You will get kicked out. Everyone around you will have a go at you. In the same way, we could have that with homophobia. Like, why can't that be the culture?
And we've had the rule change for that. I mean, that was done first off. They got universally applauded for that rule change. Mm. It was only when that they, you know, now that they're not doing anything else, that they're being backed.
Well, that encourages me to actually hear a specific thing. So, say you could have a diversity round whereby you're encouraging not just the homophobia thing,
we were well advanced, and this is what, you know, why Sam Lane, you know, really it pumped that out. You know, it got such a good run because all that was quite well advanced. You know, it was only post the Ekumenis comments that it fell on a heap.
Yeah.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.